to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said. Hey, listen, by the way, you can always follow us no matter where you are. If you're heading out of town for the Thanksgiving holidays and you want to stay tuned in, just go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is. You've also got the option there on the website for downloading podcasts and segments of the show. So, yeah, check it out, rightsideradio.org. All right, listen, going to one of my favorite times of every single week. We call it the Grand Council. It's where I've got my brethren, Dale Jackson, from right here at WVNN, morning show host extraordinaire and program director for the station. And along with Jeff Poore from 106.5 down the coast, we get the perspective of both ends of the state. I want to take a roll right now. Do I have a Dale Jackson on the air?
I'm here.
You are indeed. Do I have a Jeff Poore?
Present.
You are present, and of course I am too. That means I declare a quorum. Copper, hit that sound effect.
Assemble the Grand Council.
I feel so regal every time I hear those sounds. All right, fellers, you know the rules. We each take turns pinging each other with questions and see where we get in terms of just whether our viewpoints align or not. So, Jeff, I'm starting with you this time, brother. What you got?
Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Waukesha.
Has led us to this conversation, as everything does in the world, down a political rabbit trail, and we're talking about, you know, the Soros impact on our criminal justice system. Apparently this suspect had been let out, was out on bail, probably shouldn't have been out, but the liberalization of the justice system has allowed for individuals like this to go free that shouldn't. Well, you know, bring it home to Alabama, and, you know, we talk about Anaya's Law, we talk about what they have done in this state with criminal justice. We complain about this on this program and sometimes on this segment, you know, how the state isn't, it doesn't really meet the standard of conservatism when we talked about our state government. But on this particular topic, I feel like we're in a good place. What say you?
Dale, you first.
I guess the argument is it could be worse. I mean, is that the gist of this? In that case, yeah, I agree.
But I mean, it's good though. We're trending in a good direction, where most of the country is trending the opposite way with cashless bail and whatever else they're pushing for. We're going in the other direction on some of this.
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, it's fine. I don't have any gripes about where we are or what we're doing, and I don't see any reason to be upset with where we're heading and all of this. But, I think we are in a decent place when it comes to dealing with criminal justice stuff in the state. That's one place I guess we do get it right.
And I'll jump in. It's kind of funny. I just did the last half hour right before Grand Council. My whole segment was on basically a call to go back to what used to be called the broken windows policing, where if you let the small stuff go, it turns into big stuff, and quality of life diminishes when you even allow the small stuff to happen, like rocks through broken windows. And it's what Rudy Giuliani used to clean up New York City back in the 90s, and it just changed. It transformed New York City. And we're seeing such a call away from that, to your point, Jeff, that liberal policies, soft on crime policies, are resulting in things like that guy being out on bail, and now five people are dead and 40-plus are injured. Here's the thing. I do believe that Alabama's in a fairly good place on this. I can remember Sue Bell Cobb, when she was Chief Justice, getting in my face as a state senator and asking me what I was going to do about overcrowding. And I said, what am I going to do about soft on crime? How about that first? And she didn't like the answer. We got to watch things like right now in Birmingham. Policies by Mayor Woodfin just went into effect about a month or a month and a half ago, where he literally is starting to hamstring officers. They're not allowed to use flashbangs anymore, which are designed to disarm or disorient bad guys, and they're not allowed to do no-knock warrants, which sometimes they have to do if they have probable cause. So I'm concerned about, you know, certain aspects of our state, but as a state in whole, I think we are in a good place. You want to wrap it up, Jeff?
Yeah, I think this is an important point that we have recognized what would happen in the error of some ways when you do limit when you do put limits to law enforcement and keeping bad people in jail. It's just a problem. It seems to me to be this: we don't really have a good system in place for keeping these guys in incarcerated situations where there's not overcrowding. This prison plan doesn't really address that. There's a backlog in the county jails and in some places the municipal jails. What do you do? How do you fix that? That's something that's got to be done. Look, we can talk about not wanting prisons, not wanting to spend money on prisons, but part of public safety, part of your criminal justice system is just that. So if we're going to back to blue, if we're going to be tough on crime, we're going to have to come to terms with that as conservatives.
Totally, totally agree. All right, I'll take the next one then. So, interesting thing, you know, we had our special session with the vaccine mandate bills that got dropped in that were not part of the governor's call, which means that the governor had good rhetoric, but she did not have good policy to go along with the rhetoric. And so the legislature took some action here in Alabama. And I was glad, and I felt like they were somewhat watered down from the original intent. I mean, I really would like to have seen something that sort of put some teeth into it, if you will. But, of course, the business community got in there and made sure there was not a whole lot of teeth. Well, Governor DeSantis, down in Florida, called his folks into a special session, and they're the separate branch of government, but they agreed. They passed a number of bills that he signed into law just in the last few days. And one of them would literally fine employers between $10,000 and $50,000 per violation for not allowing people to opt out of the vaccine mandates if they had a religious or a medical exemption request. So basically he put teeth in it. The legislature did, and the governor signed it. And immediately, and now the Biden administration is furious, immediately Disney World ended their vaccine mandate, just like that. I have not seen anything in Alabama where a major employer has just backed away after those bills were signed. And I wonder what you guys think about that. Dale, you first.
Well, I think you're right. The Disney World part is a pretty key point here. They realized that as this was going on, they weren't going to be able to fight this anymore, and they gave up. I mean, that's what they did. They took a knee, and they said, we're done. And you're right. It hasn't happened here in Alabama. You still have people still fighting the exact same fight from before, and it looks like the DOL is going to side with the workers on this kind of stuff, but lawsuits will need to be filed, and the battle goes on. I mean, and I would have to disagree with you respectfully on your own show. I don't think her rhetoric was very good. Her policy wasn't good. Her rhetoric wasn't very good. She got drugged there kicking and screaming by the legislature.
Okay, I don't argue with that. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I agree with Dale. Her rhetoric was horrible. So they talked to us like we were dumb, like we were stupid or something, and really believing that executive order meant anything. It was just a rhetorical device, if anything, telling us how bad Joe Biden was. And blah, 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 jobs, blah, 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 Alabama economy and success. It read like a press release. It was like a campaign press release or something, and then instructs the attorney general to do something he was already doing. And that was supposed to placate us rubes in the public. And I thought she did a really, 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 really intellectually dishonest thing with that executive order, the governor, that is. But as far as what Florida's doing, why – when we brought this up in the past, us right wingers out here in talk radio land, and those guys that are, you know, the Twitter brigade and everybody that wanted Alabama to do something like Florida had done, it was like, no, you just don't understand the Constitution and the supremacy clause. But my question is this: why not try?
There you
why
go.
Not try to do something bold and then let the court strike it down? And let's really test the supremacy clause. Let's test the constitutionality. But the state didn't. They'll do that with the abortion ban.
Exactly.
But they will not do that with this vaccine mandate. And furthermore, guys, I tell you, I got a couple of questionnaires sent to me. You should see. I got to send you this to you
I've
guys.
I've seen it.
Send it to me.
The questionnaire about religious exemptions by some hospitals down here in Mobile, asking for the name of your priest, the name of your parishioner,
oh, yeah,
or whatever.
St. Vincent's is using the same thing.
Yeah, it is. That is just over the top and out of control. And the legislature, members of the legislature, if they weren't too busy sucking up to the BCA, they ought to be upset about that.
Well, listen, we're up against a break right now. We'll get you back, Dale, when we come back. But I will first correct the record and point out that I never thought her rhetoric was good. I just said it was just rhetoric without okay. policy.
Fair enough.
Is my point. But, yeah, it was hollow. It meant nothing. And it was something she felt like she had to do because she recognized public sentiment was what it was, and it's an election year. All right, fellers. We'll be right back with Dale getting the next question on the Grand Council. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Going straight back to the Grand Council. And Dale Jackson, I believe you have the next question. Take it away.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about this Linda Blanchard thing again. It's kind of strange. Some people got upset that this came up again. Obviously, Linda Blanchard finally got to somebody that would write this story. Is there anything new about this, or is this just that someone at the Wall Street Journal was like, oh, okay, we'll write this story?
Well, Jeff's the inside man. Take it, Jeff.
That's absolutely what it is. Michael Bender for the Wall Street Journal was writing a story trying to piggyback off Glenn Youngkin's success in Virginia, talking about how he didn't really need to cozy up to Trump like a lot of Republicans, and this must be a trend throughout the country. And Republican governors not wanting to have anything to do with Donald Trump. So anyway, you get down to the last three paragraphs of this story, and there, lo and behold, Governor Ivey is even in Alabama is having her problems with Donald J. Trump. And they put in that little story about Linda Blanchard, and not a big secret that Linda Blanchard was down at Mar-a-Lago and goes down there quite frequently. But it was just, I felt like we needed something to fill out the rest of the story. Oh, remember that time Donald Trump got mad at Kay Ivey because of the USS Alabama? Let's float that out there. Okay, so they put it in there. And then I guess Howard Kopelwitz's Google alerts went off. And lo and behold, it winds up as a big story on AL.com. And that's why we are talking about it right now.
Wow, I'm not even sure I can even add anything to that. So I'll just go ahead and just add to it, too. I think it's always suspect when you have someone who is running for one race, realizes she's not doing well, that would then totally jump over to a completely unrelated race. I mean, when Governor Ivey was running for governor and then she chose to run for lieutenant governor, I kind of got it. It kind of went hand in hand, I guess. But nonetheless, in this case, jumping from a U.S. Senate position to go to D.C. to be a senator, to jump over to be governor, when no, you don't have any experience in an executive position like that, I would be really suspect of that news just on that basis alone. Dale?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And also, Ivy saw a clear path. Hank Irwin was the other option. Nobody cared about being lieutenant governor at that point in time. And she said, oh, I'll just take this from this doddering old man. And that's exactly what she did.
Fair enough. All right, Jeff, you're up again.
Mike Hubbard may be listening to this program right now over there at the Limestone Correctional Facility.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike, or hey, Speaker, how are you? Well, let's get in touch sometime. But anyway, so you know, the way the media have reacted to this big, bad, awful, terrible Mike Hubbard, I can't figure out what he's doing wrong here trying to get out of jail. And look, what he did wrong was all these ethics violations he was convicted for, and the appellate courts upheld it. The Supreme Court of Alabama upheld it, and he is serving his time. But they act like there was some egregious activity by Hubbard, maybe dumb, using a monitored phone call or a monitored email service. Fine. But that he would dare not want to serve out his entire sentence. What is wrong with these people?
Well, what's wrong with him is it's almost like Mike Hubbard to AL.com is exactly what Donald Trump was to CNN. He's the constant boogeyman. He's the guy that if they don't have a way to beat up on him, they don't know what to do with themselves. And so, you know, first of all, a monitored system is all he has in prison. Thank you very much. He doesn't like to have a cell phone. He can walk around, like they bring him a burner phone and he uses it from the privacy of a separate room. So that's all he's got. I know they had this whole thing about how he's using coded words. Well, I got news. Everybody does that when they don't want somebody to know what they're talking about. But the idea that he wanted to get out of jail early, who would not want to get out of jail early? And for a nonviolent crime. So, you know, I'm just saying, yeah, I think it's a non-story. I think it's AL.com still having, a bent on Mike Hubbard. And what say you, Dale Jackson?
Is he even in jail still if he's not Mike Hubbard?
Hello, what?
Is he even in jail if he's not Mike Hubbard? Is he already out by now? Or if he's not Mike Hubbard, is he being held longer than he normally would? I mean, in COVID, they got a whole bunch of people out. It's a nonviolent crime. It's all this other stuff. Would he really be sitting there if his name wasn't Mike Hubbard? A lot of people don't think so. I see what he did, and it was pretty stupid on his part, knowing he's being monitored and all these other things. But you're right. What? He wrote an apology saying he was sorry that he didn't mean? What a shocker.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, they said for the longest time that he would never get convicted because he was Mike Hubbard. And then when he did get convicted, now they don't want ever to be an opportunity for him to see early release like potentially any other prisoner would be able to apply for and take their best shot. So, you know, I don't know. I just think it's AL.com being AL.com, my opinion. Let me ask you this.
I don't know if you read the Attorney General response, and that's where they get this. Who is peddling this to Kyle Whitmire and Josh Boone? I mean, these were the go-tos for Matt Hart during the prosecution, that they just wind up being the two writing about this. It's like PTSD or something from that whole era in Alabama political history.
You know, it's a great point. I have no idea where the leak would have come from. It certainly wasn't an attorney-client privilege conversation. Allegedly, it was him and Billy Canary, but nonetheless, I can only imagine that someone in the jail doesn't like him and was making sure that somebody knew. That's all I can figure.
Well, you also have to ask yourself this question. I mean, and maybe this is not a big deal, but if they all know who the legislator is that was, you know, doing all this dirt and was going to pass a piece of legislation to get Mike Ball out of jail, or yikes, to get Mike Hubbard out of jail, why don't they just say who it is?
Yeah, but you know, got to protect your sources, though. It's sourcing. It's First Amendment. It's sourcing. Anyway, whatever. Well, fellas, I'm going to call it, man. That's all we got for the Grand Council Day. Blessings on both your Thanksgivings. Have a great time with family. Gain a few pounds. I hope you do well. And thanks for being on today. All right, folks. That was Dale Jackson from WVNN. That was Jeff Poor from 106.5 down on the coast. Listen, it's my favorite segment to do with them, Grand Council. All right, folks, we come back from this. I'm going to give you the number three in the triple dipper. We're going to wrap up the show with talking about the fact that there have been some body blows to Biden's mandates. Body blows to Biden's mandates. Number three on the triple dipper. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.